I'm excited to get into the Word here. I'm going to begin reading some scriptures to you, and then we'll begin to take off. But first, I want to read Revelation 4:11. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now I want to read Colossians 1:16, which flows right with this same thought. There's a lot in Colossians chapter 1, but I'm just going to read a verse or two here just to focus on one particular thing. It says, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, or things created by him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, which is the firstborn, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Well, I want to also read Romans chapter 11, verse 36. Romans 11:36. "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. For of him, through him, and to him are all things." Now, these three verses that we read all are basically saying the same thing, that God is creator. Of course, now Satan's wanting to undermine that and say, there's evolution. If you're created a female, you can be a male, or vice versa. It's all kind of craziness. You can't say you believe the Bible and embrace what's going on in terms of the lies of the devil in the earth today. God, it begins with him being creator, and as a result of that, he has the right of moral authority to our life. He said there's a tree of the knowledge of good and evil you can't partake of. Well, that is that God wanted to retain it to himself. Only he determines what's good or evil. When we put ourselves in that place, then we take his place there. And sin is to do that which God calls evil and we call it good. That's Satan's game. Gets you to call good evil and evil good. If you believe that which is good's evil, you'll never go toward it. You'll never go toward him or the things of God. So we have all things through him. Therefore, we owe him in a sense. We owe it to him to give honor and glory, because without him, you wouldn't be here. I used to chuckle. My wife would say something in humor at times, you know, when your kids are growing up. "I brought you into this world and I can take you out." Of course, we know you can't really, because you'd end up in prison. But anyway, there's the point there is if you've been the one giving forth life, there is a gratitude that's owed to you. Through him, and to him are all things for his glory. We were created for the glory of God. Again, these three different passages all say that same thing. Now, man was created in the image of God. We're created to be worshipers. You're going to worship something. You will. It's interesting, go to a place like India, which I've gone many times. You know, they worship everything there. I mean, they worship a rat or a banana tree or whatever. And we could think, well, that's crazy, but people here will worship something that doesn't even breathe, you know, like their car or their house. Even worship material things, and they think equally, well, we're nuts for worshiping material things. Now, as Christians, we worship the Lord our God, who's not only created us, but gave us access to the eternal life of God through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ and the shedding of his blood. He made it all possible. We can partake of that. So it's through him, And that's our purpose in life, is the will of God. Now, every human being, again, being that we're made in his image, you want purpose. God is a God of purpose. Everything he does has purpose. He created us with purpose. He created us to do his will. It's not for us to create our own purpose or dictate what we want or the things that we would think should be, but to seek him and find what is his will. And then we pray, Lord, may that be done on earth as it is in heaven. The will of God's done in heaven. Everything that exists there exists to glorify him. Now, for us, while we're here, through our walk with the Lord, there's a testimony to the Lord. You take that with you. You can't just take people with you. Some people say that, but you can't really. They have to choose life. They choose Jesus Christ or death. That's the choice. Life or death. Deuteronomy 10:12 states it very clearly, as well as Deuteronomy chapter 30. Choose this day life. Now, I like how God gives the test, and he gives the answer while he's giving the test. Don't you wish you had a teacher like that in school? Actually, when I taught in our high school, I would give all the answers while I gave the test, before I gave the test. That's a good teacher. You know, you don't ask a question, and there's no answer to it. And a lot of times people have questions about things, but they don't know where the answer is. When I was in the hospital, I ended up sharing with this one nurse, and one of the things I would do is to show an interest in people. It's really simple. It's not you coming off like gangbusters preaching to people. It's showing interest in them. Be kind. So I say, oh, are you married? Do you have children? Well, yeah, you touch on a few things like that, you can get someone talking. And most people, they talk long enough, they'll swing the door open that you can interject Jesus. Well, anyway, this lady, she had a child and very concerned about raising a young child. And we were talking for a while. I said, you know, and she comes up and says, I wish there was a book, because I was sharing some things about parenting. I wish there was a book that tell me all what to do so I don't make all these mistakes. I said, there is a book. It's called the Bible. All the answers are there. Oh. But, you know, she embraced that to some degree. I mean, I've not seen her since. I don't even know what her name was. But there is a book with the answers. And as we recognize, we were created in purpose. We are created to bring glory to God. There's a will of God, or it's his desire for our life. It's not for us to conjure up our own dreams and pursue a life of leisure. Now, I'll share with you before the vision I had in 1986, where God expressly told me to warn people who are not building their own dream and pursuing leisure living, but to submit themselves to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and go through the crossroads and go into the very life of God, the life of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So I've been doing that ever since. Because it was like an out-of-body experience type thing. And, you know, why does God do something? Like, he makes an impression sometimes. There's no confusing this. This is God. Well, anyway, everybody desires to have a reason to live, a purpose to live. And people are looking for it in the world. And the thing is, you're not going to find it in this world. If you build your life on people, you're capable of having it all flipped on its head in one day. They could die, they could leave, forsake you. You can't build your life on people. Many people get sold this bill of goods. Oh, you're going to fall in love. You'll find this perfect person and fall in love and live happily ever after. Then you'll have to walk in the love of Jesus forever after. Because there is no perfect person but one, Jesus Christ. Now, if you're going to seek to find him and know his love for you and walk in that same kind of love, well, then you can enter into all the joy of the Lord. But we have to be very mindful we're not deceived. Some people think there's a place in the mountains, by the beach or whatever, a place where there's perfect joy and peace. Well, there's nice places on the earth, but someone can come along and ruin it. I shared with you when that COVID pandemic hit, and my wife and I always enjoy our home and go out back by the fish pond and hear the stream, you know, running water. And, well, here we end up with a neighbor with a four-wheeler with no muffler on a thing. So we want to go out and just, oh, it's a peaceful place. And we're hearing, racing around, kicking up dust and everything. And that was a test, wouldn't you say, Donna? That was a test to our love walk. Praise God, they moved away. But but the one gentleman, it was interesting, the one gentleman ended up in a crisis. He was arrested. I guess I can say I was jumped out of the second floor building drunk and naked. You know, I mean, the guy went over the edge and got kicked out. He's knocking on our door. It's like 9 o'clock at night. So he knew who had some measure of love in the midst of his life. You know, some people read you. They might not read the Bible, but they're going to read you. And you don't know the conclusions people come to. We had a girl lived on our street, and somebody tried to break in. We didn't really know her. It was like, I don't know, 3 a.m. She comes over naked with a blanket wrapped around herself, scared to death. It's like people will pick. They're being identified with, if I had to flee, if I had to run, I think I could trust them. I think I could trust you. And it comes back to just showing kindness and the love of God in the little things. We'll all get tested. God's more than enough. Jesus is more than enough. You're not going to go through anything that he hadn't gone through more than you. You know, the suffering of Jesus wasn't just him being afflicted in his body, but he suffered rejection. He suffered betrayal from those he poured his life into. Don't think you won't go through that. You will. And in times like that, if you don't have your eyes on Jesus, it can devastate you. People can make a choice, and you're not in it anymore. Jesus said he will never leave us or forsake us. See, many people are afraid of things changing because they're afraid of losing what they have. Change is all around us all the time. Things are always changing. You're changing. I'm changing. But God wants us to change, to become more like Jesus, to change into the image of Jesus Christ. If we're not being changed by him, you are being changed by this world to conform to it. There's no other alternatives there. Now, as we read on here in Romans, he said, I beseech you, therefore. And that's connecting what he's about to say with what he just said. All things are through him, for his glory. Therefore, I ask you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. For you to give your whole life to him, God views it as reasonable. You know, sometimes people might ask something of you, and you might think, well, that's a little unreasonable. For you to give your life in the mind of God is reasonable because he loved you so much. He sent Jesus to die for our sin, who alone, the righteous dying for the unrighteous, who alone could pay the price by his shed blood, and his going before the very throne of God with his own blood, purchasing our redemption. It's reasonable. And be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It's the fulfillment of God's will where we can experience the highest realm in this life. There's many things you can experience, some good, some bad, some indifferent. But the will of God's where the greatest realm of joy is. Now, I say that a lot, but it's not until we really embrace that will we then pursue that. You will pursue the thing you think is going to give you pleasure. You already are. If you're pursuing pleasing God, doing His will, you know, that'll connect with my joy. My greatest joy is in pleasing my Heavenly Father. And at the end of our time, it's well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. That's what I'm living for. And along the way, there's all kind of pain and sorrow, but I stay fixed on that. The moment my eyes are off of Jesus, now I would then be vulnerable to deception and destruction in my life. And that doesn't all happen right away. Satan will subtly try to maneuver you that your eyes are off of him. Living for the will of God. And that's brought out in these other verses that I read. We need to be transformed, which that word in the Greek is metamorphosis, or it's also the word in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that says we are changed into that image by the Spirit of the Lord from glory to glory. Now, either God's changing you, or you're going to be conforming to the world, putting pressure. I find it interesting today how in the world they're going so far as to say, oh, you can't say certain words. Well, you need the proper pronoun before my name. It's so ridiculous. But that's how far it goes, the force of conformity. And, you know, back in the communist nations, people would all dress the same way. And we see pictures like China, everybody had like this blue garb on. When I used to go into like Russia and so forth, and that was 10 years after the communism went down, all the men were dressed in black. There was no color. So being I try to fit in so I wouldn't get pegged, after the first time I go in black, nobody had shoes with strings on. So I made sure I didn't. So I fit in. Now, as soon as I open my mouth, the gig's up, you know. Hey, you know, yeah, I ain't a Russian. Yeah, I'm an American. But anyway, the world will try to force this conformity. How you speak, how you look, and all of that. And what's interesting, like today, people think they're so free from that, but they're conforming to something else. It's just craziness, craziness all around us. Well, things are always changing. And again, many people live under the fear of change. It's a basic human fear. How it works is you begin to enjoy something in life, so you're afraid that any change, you'll lose what you have. I heard someone talking about the upcoming 24 election, and they said, well, they would willingly vote for someone who used to be president because they know what they're getting. Now, if you can see what he did, that'd be a reason enough. But many people will vote for some deceptive, I don't know what adjectives to use, corrupt political manipulator. They'll do that if they think they can keep what they have. And it's such a place void of any faith. Well, things might get worse if I change anything. How about this? God makes things better. If I'll go with him, I can have something better. And people begin to lose sight of such a thing. But his will will bring the manifestation of the fruit of His Spirit, love, joy, and peace in our life. It doesn't get any better than that. No matter what's going on around us, we can tap into that. You have places in the world where there's wars. Everything changed overnight in Ukraine and Crimea and these nations overnight because war, because there was someone who had power who was evil. And that this type of thing goes on all the time. So people look for this peaceful place. They look for a joy. They look for love. But many times never really enter into it because they're looking to this world rather than to the Lord Himself. So he says, don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed. And the two things mentioned here is one, you present yourself. You offer yourself, your life. For God to fill your life, you have to give it to Him. You need to, you know, for your employer to give you a paycheck, you need to show up at work and do the job. Of course, there's people, they don't believe that either. They should just get the paycheck. But if you don't show up, you're not getting any paycheck. Or they won't be in business long, one of the two. So we need to present ourselves. We're not offering ourselves as a dead sacrifice, but a sacrifice. We're offering ourselves our life, a living sacrifice. And be transformed by the renewing of our mind, which is to exchange our thoughts for His. So we need to be a people of the Word, a people that love the Word of God, allowing ourselves to continue to be changed. God's in the change business. Yes. Now, one thing I want to extract from this today is that you'll have to change to do the will of God. We are a natural man, and then there's a spiritual man. Our spiritual man begins life at the new birth, the natural man in the natural birth. If you try to live a spiritual life out of the natural man, you will fail. You'll come up short. You won't have what you need. But we endeavor to fulfill His will by His power, by His grace, by His anointing on our life. And God will challenge you to do something that's beyond your natural ability. I like to quote Brother Lester Sumrall now, and then he said, he's been with the Lord about 20 years now, but he used to say, if your vision doesn't shock your flesh, you're backslidden. That always stuck with me. If your vision or the thing you're reaching toward, moving toward, doesn't shock your flesh, you're backslidden. God's will is going to require you to change and become more like Him. And we have the example in Jesus. And we have that same power of the Holy Spirit that was upon Him available to us. But the natural man wants to be able to do it on his own ability, his own way, his own time. But really, we want to have the mind to be obedient to do the will of God. So we have to be changed. And that needs to be a cry of our heart. I've shared before I was saved, I was the most shy person I ever met. I say that tongue in cheek. I was very shy. And I would freeze up trying to talk to people. I go into a brain freeze, and I was on drugs and stuff like that, and it made everything worse. I'd freeze. Brain freeze. And after I accepted Jesus, I was searching for truth. The strongest desire of my heart, I say this in all sincerity, the strongest desire of my heart was, Lord, set me free. I have to be able to talk about You. I have something I have to be able to talk about. And He did. He's faithful. But see, I desired the right thing. Didn't happen all at once, snap a finger. So it was a short period of time. When I first met my wife was at a singles meeting at a large church. It's the church mall. You know, a lot of young people go shopping for a spouse. It's better to let the Lord do your shopping for you. Anyway, I remember going to that meeting, and it's the first in my life I'm experiencing fellowship like this. And the guys leading it, they bring up a certain topic, you know, and I didn't know much of the Bible yet. And I'd begin to think about whatever they're talking about. It literally would take me five minutes to answer what they were saying. So the conversation's already changed about three times. So I start talking about this back here. Everybody's like, what are you talking about? Oh, yeah, we did talk about that 10 minutes ago, whatever. That's how bad it was. I didn't have any idea there was a gift in me to teach. No idea. Nobody knew that. Preach or anything else. But there was a desire there. Lord, change me so I can do that. I found truth. You revealed it. You found me. So I'm just using that testimony as an example. You apply it to your life as it applies. The will of God will require faith. It will require you tapping into the power of God. After we had started the church, this was, I guess, around 1980, we were on our riding to a particular home of someone in the church. We have a home meeting, and I was going to teach for the first time. We're riding over there. Donna says, how are you going to do this? You've never done this before. I mean, what did I even say back to you? I don't even remember. The Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. And I'm sure as rough as a corn cob. I don't even remember what I said. But you begin to step out by faith and obedience because you want to please the Father. And the more you step out into something, the flow of it will begin to come. You know, someone begins to play a musical instrument. First, it might be really rough. Some instruments might be a little harder. Listen to somebody trying to play a violin or a trumpet or something, and they can't do it yet. And they might as well be scratching their fingernails down a chalkboard. But eventually, they become proficient. Somewhere, they had to believe they could do it. When I first learned to play guitar, brother teaching me, so you can do this. My finger muscles were all developed for grip, hand tools, masonry work. And it seemed like an impossibility to form G, C, and D. But eventually, just doing these exercises, eventually I could do it. It wasn't to be a rock star. Is to worship Jesus at home. You know, some people won't sing very much because they know their voice isn't that good. There's this filter between you and heaven. God hears what's coming out of the heart, beautiful music. Maybe somebody beside you hears something out of tune, off key, out of rhythm. When I sing for him. He loves it. Yeah, you'll see people sometimes, there'll be a video of like a 3-year-old child, and they're singing their heart out. It's off key, out of tune, but it sure blesses your heart. Now, a little word of advice, if you're not a great singer, project your voice to the front, to the stage monitors. I mean, every now and then I'd be worshiping, stand. I get turned sideways and singing right into my wife's ear. And she said, please, you know, have mercy. But till the Lord hears it, it's great to him. because he's hearing what's coming from the heart. You could have a great voice and there's nothing from the heart and it's not really doing much anything for him. He wants to hear your heart being given out to him, whether it seems crude or not. If you're not very good at it, just don't sing real loud, that's all. And point your voice toward a speaker. yeah. Well, God changes us. He's in the change business. He wants to change you to do the will of God. And his plan for your life is going to require more than just your ability. It's going to require you to lay hold of him. Thus, he has sent the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost throughout the Bible is revealed in three ways. God among us, his Spirit upon us, and his Spirit within us. So anywhere you read of the whole Bible, it's the same Holy Ghost. Many times he was just among the people. There's times his anointing would come on like prophet, priest, and king, or others, New Testament. But then the new covenant, great promise, he'll come to live in you. You have a helper. Don't say I can't. You have a helper. You have a helper. Call out on him. And the Holy Spirit's ministry is desperately needed. John 16, Jesus taught on the Holy Spirit's ministry, and there's basically three things. He brings conviction of sin, righteousness, judgment. Conviction's a firm belief on the inside. He says what's good and evil. Back to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He brings a conviction about that. He'll guide you in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If he's working in our life, he's always taking us to truth. What is the truth? Jesus said the truth would set us free. And then he always works to glorify Christ, to be glorified. That's the will of God. He wants us to know him, give him place in our life, and allow him to work through us for his glory. Now, in some cases, maybe that great work of his will is to love somebody. That's always part of it, to love someone. To love someone. You know, in loving people, there's going to be times there's things you don't like about them. Because all humanity is imperfect. It's purely a matter of time till you'll find something that you don't really like about someone. That doesn't make you spiritual. You're spiritual if you can see past that through the eye of faith and love and still bless and reach out and express the love of God. And in some cases, someone might say, well, you don't know what I have to deal with. You don't know what I have to live with. No, I don't. Jesus does. And it's not too much for him. A lot of times we can fall into this trap of wanting to imagine this perfect world with perfect people who are like you. I mean, that's how people think. You want to find some people like you. Where God has this great, the great diversity. He created us different in the natural. But we're all to be one in the spirit. One of the things I so enjoy going to different countries, I may have very little in common with their ways. But if we have the same Savior, the same Jesus, we're all the same. Whether it's in Russia or India or wherever, believers are, you can count on it. If there's believers there, there's the same spirit. We're born of the same spirit. There's the same commission of the Lord. There's the same characteristics of love. There's no escaping that. I would ask it this way, why would you want to escape that? But again, we can imagine some kind of perfection so I don't have to deal with as much. The Lord will put you in positions we have to deal with somebody else's flesh. I remember as a young man thinking my problems were people. So I purposed to go live in a wilderness because there would be no problems. And I came to be enlightened to know the same devils and the same sin I'll be taking with me by myself with nobody to help me. That revelation came. Yeah, so that kind of ruined all my plans there. But there's different versions of that. Oh, if I had enough money and I bought an island and insects come through or something. You know, over the years, you have all kinds of things that are destructive to this earth and how man wants his little utopia. That all is coming in heaven. But while we're here, he wants us to lay hold of the fullness of the Spirit. That his, in particular, his love that he expressed to us in Jesus can be expressed through us to others. That others would come to believe upon him and join us worshiping the Lord in heaven and on earth. Everything in heaven brings honor and glory to God. Everything, every being, every created being, forever and ever. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray that way. When we see things we don't like, we can be the agents of change by our prayer life, bringing a release of the Holy Spirit's ministry. And then also on top of that, by us laying hold of the power, the love of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, whatever is pertaining to the moment, to lay hold of that. What are you living for? A lot of people are living for money, pleasure, pride. Jesus said in the parable of the sower sowing the word, but those three things choke out the word like thorns, choking it out. If we live for those things, or we want to do halfway for that and halfway for God, that'll choke out the very life of God. Sometimes people can look back and they see they had a greater love for the Lord years ago. Ought not to be like that. Our love for him should be greater today than any time before. And it's just a choice. You might say, I've let that slip. Choose life. Choose him. See, it starts with the revelation of it, the conviction of it. And then we begin to follow him right into the truth. I'm going to live this way. I'll live by the truth revealed in the Word of God. When, in Acts 22, when Jesus sent Ananias to Paul and he prophesied to him. He said, you've been chosen to be a witness. You've been chosen to know the will of God. You've been chosen to see him and to hear his voice. We've all been chosen to know him, to know his will. You know, the essence of leadership, I'm just going to throw this in here yet. Real spiritual leadership isn't the same as other forms of leadership. You know, you could get a GPS and it leads you to Atlanta, Georgia, say. It could lead you there. Is that what you call a leader? Well, in a sense, it led you there to that place. But spiritual leadership revealed in the Bible was revealed in the person of David, where God said that there in 1 Samuel, that David led them out and led them in. Led them out. What's that mean? He led them into the presence of God to know him. And he showed them how to walk, how to go out in life. And more specifically, he was a worshiper, psalmist. When 400 men joined him in the cave of Adullam, while Saul was hunting him down, he discipled them in the cave. He led them to know God, and they ended up doing great exploits for God. But he also led them how to walk, how to go out into this life. And that's, we all need help in that way. To come in to know him more, to go out in this life. It's just like breathing. Oxygen in, carbon dioxide out. Come into the presence of God, go forth into this world. How to do that? What's that look like? And that's Bible leadership. It's not running a like running a business. It's not about building something. That's just a different kind of leadership. But the leadership we need, and we have it in Jesus Christ, the Lord our Shepherd. He brings us to know God more, and he shows us how to walk going out. How to walk in whatever you have. How to walk as a husband, a wife, a son or a daughter, a witness of the Lord, a servant of the Lord, whatever. He leads you in going out. Now, let's say one more thing here yet. I know I'm piecing some different things, but they all fit together as far as I'm concerned. There's different views of trying to relate to God in the world. You have like your Buddhist Hindu. They don't really do corporate. It's everything's personal. They go to their little temple and put a piece of bread there for the rat living in there. I mean, literally, you drive down the road and see this stuff. There. Or Buddhist. Well, it's all their own little thing. Then you can have some people where everything's corporate. They have no real relationship with the Lord, but they go to church. They're part of a corporate thing, but they don't even know what it is they're singing about or entering into. Both are incorrect. God wants us to twofold, a relationship with him, knowing him, knowing his will, and then together, he calls us together as a people, as a body, because how do you walk in love just by yourself? You can't do it because love gives. How are you long-suffering by yourself? Well, it's a whole lot easier, buddy, that if I don't have to deal with people. No, but in the wisdom of God, he ordained both personal, which you must have, a personal relationship, and a corporate, where in the corporate there's a leadership to know him more, you know, different, to all different ages of people, different leadership, learning to walk out in this life. If we can't walk in love with each other, don't be deceived thinking you're going to walk in love with the world. It's a whole lot easier to do with your brother and sister. I'd say, yeah, but they're stubborn, they're hard-headed, whatever. The Holy Ghost can break through. He can break through that old hard as a rock heart or nut, yeah, hard as a nut head. He can break through it. You know, we have our parrot. They have a very short beak. She split a walnut. Holy Ghost, he's better than that. He can crack somebody open. Just don't quit. Don't give up. Amen. Well, are you changing? I'll finish it with this statement. There was a pastor's meeting I went to some years ago, and there was a man and wife there. Her name was Tommy and Cletus Tenney. They had a son who was a well-known preacher, Tommy Tenney. And Sister Tenney was sharing. She's probably in her mid-80s. Full of the Holy Ghost. And she said, I don't keep any pictures of myself because I don't want to see myself according to the past. I keep looking at Jesus. I want to see myself as he is. I never forgot that. Now, she's not saying it's wrong to take a picture. The point there is a picture freezes a moment in time. But you're not the same. You're going on. She said, I don't want to bind myself to the things of the past here. I want to just keep looking at him. Again, 2 Corinthians 3:18, we're changed by the Spirit of the Lord from glory to glory, from one image of what we can behold of Christ to another. And whatever you need more in your life, the answer's in Jesus. He's in the book. There's a book that talks about all that. It's called the Bible. Let's pray. Father, I pray there be stirrings in our heart today. Stirrings, Lord, to live for you and not for flesh, not for self. To live for your glory. Father, we purpose, Lord, according to Romans 12, to present ourselves to you today. Lord, take our life, mold it, change it, transform us. And Father, as we continue to get into your word, may we come to know the truth by the work of the Holy Ghost who reveals the truth of the word. We thank you, Father, you are changing us from glory to glory. We are not stuck. We are not bound. But we are being changed by you, Lord. That's our confession. That's our expectation. Change us, O Lord, to be more like you. We thank you for it, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, if any convictions there in your heart, continue to embrace that. Continue to embrace it. Hallelujah. Amen. Before we dismiss, Brother Allen, is there anything it would be good for us to know about the upcoming trip to Tanzania? Okay.
She just got back there.
Okay.
So they're just preparing. It's still about a month and a half away.
Okay.
So I'll be leaving about the third week of August.
Third week of August. And that'll be to Tanzania, reaching some tribes that have never heard the gospel before. And in this last day, in this last hour, that's... I mean, as much as anything, the gospel needs to go to those people. There's a lot of them all over the world. But praise God, we have some relationship with the Mirabella family that's doing that. We're able to send Brother Allen. So continue to encourage any giving toward that. And whatever's above expense, give to them to help feed some of the tribal people. The more recent account was there was a lot of extreme inflation over there. And you have people just trying to get their rice and beans to eat once a day or whatever they can. So hold, keep that in prayer as well. Amen. Father, we thank you for a time ordained of you today. And Father, we celebrate life. We celebrate freedom, Lord, as we move forward into this holiday where the founding of our nation celebrated. Father, may we most of all celebrate resurrection life in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord. We are alive in you. Thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.